Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to another edition of Ask the Experts. Today's guest is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Welcome to the podcast, Shelley.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
As always, it's good to see you, Shelley. So, now, if everyone has been watching the news, we now know that the government is now open. So, and the bill has been signed, and also including the provisions for subsidies and or tax credits, whatever you want to call them. Shelley, can you elaborate on all that?
I sure can. I think we've heard a lot about the subsidy. That seems to be what most people are calling it, but back in the days of the ACA passing in 2010, it was the subsidy or an advanced premium tax credit, so APTC, and it allowed someone who didn't make a lot of money to get some help from the federal government to be able to pay a part of or most of, or in some cases, all of the cost of their health insurance. So yes, we are now open again, the government, and it's going to be open at least through January of 26 before they go through some of this again. But the deal that they signed, or the bill, whatever you want to think of it as, it did not include the extension of the ACA subsidies or tax credits. So we've been talking about this all year, that the subsidies, the enhanced ones, would end December 31st. And here we are in the middle of November, and we have the Penny in Pennsylvania. There's other state-based exchanges that are open, and healthcare.gov is open, and they are selling the individual plans, but many of them have only the original tax credit or subsidy that was allowed.
So let's go back in time to the original subsidies and the tax credits that were included when the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010. What about all that?
Sure. I'll take you back in time and try to explain what happened and what we have today and what we're going to have in the future. So when the Affordable Care Act passed in March 23rd of 2010, they said that there should be some help by the federal government for those who are between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level, that those people would have the opportunity to get a subsidy or advanced premium tax credit. So tax credits are typically those things that we claim on our individual tax returns after the year is done, and we get a credit toward the tax that we owe. But in the way that we look at health insurance, when the ACA was passed and we all started doing this in 2014, we all had to show on our tax returns that we did have health insurance. And for many of those, especially those in the 100 to 400% of federal poverty level, they didn't have a way of paying for it themselves. So that's why this subsidy or APTC, Advanced Premium Tax Credit, was saying, okay, look, you have a credit of, just picking out a number, $2,000. Mm-hmm. So instead of giving you a credit of $2,000 in the next year for, you know, the year that happened, we're going to give you a little bit every time. And that little bit is going to help to pay for the cost of your health insurance every month. So those who are in that 100 to 400% of federal poverty level will be able to check that box on their tax return and say, yes, I do have coverage. And of course, we all know that when you have health insurance coverage, you generally take care of yourself better. You go to regular doctor appointments, you get your checkups, you go through all those things like you need to. And let me just give an idea of what it was back in that day. If you were between 100 and 400% of federal poverty level, if we look at this in what happens today in 2025, somebody who is at 100% of federal poverty level, $472,000 for an individual, that's at the 400% level and $129,000 for a family of four at 400% of federal poverty level. So, you know, it was decent incomes, and it depends on what's happening with your family, if you have one who's eligible. But the whole idea was the federal government said, okay, you know, you're not earning a lot. Let's help you pay for the cost of your health insurance. So all these years we've had this, and the federal government has helped to pay most or all of the cost of the health insurance. Approximately half of those who have been enrolled in individual health insurance have had to pay little or nothing for the cost of their health insurance until we got these enhanced subsidies or tax credits.
Now, the next topic I want to bring up is enhanced subsidies. When were the enhanced subsidies introduced, and who did they impact?
Sure, I'll tell you about that too. The enhanced subsidies, or the enhanced premium tax credit, was established under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, and it was extended in the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. So those dates ring some bells with you, right? What were we doing then?
I don't remember.
We were in the midst of the pandemic.
Oh, right. How could I forget?
COVID-19 going on. That happened in 2021. You know, actually in 2020 is when we started to hear the bell ring and everybody had to, you know, go home and all of those things. So we had the ARPA, and that was in 2021. And then we had the Inflation Reduction Act in 2022. So from 2020 through 2023, early 2024 sometime, we were dealing with COVID-19. And so the enhanced premium tax credits were a way for expanding the subsidies or tax credits and allowing more Americans to take advantage of the subsidies or tax credits. So it now went beyond 400% of federal poverty level. I believe it was capped at about 600% of federal poverty level. Of course, the higher and higher you climb above federal poverty level, the less and less you got. So if you were at the lower end, 150% of federal poverty level, you got the full help that was allowed, 9.5%. And if you got to the over 400 and towards the 600, you were lucky if you got 3 or 4%. So it was an adjustment of things, but it was a way to open the door and to allow more Americans who did not have insurance. It could have been because of the pandemic. It could have been, you know, somebody lost their job, didn't have a job. You were all trying to get along. The pandemic made it harder for all of us. So the president presented this, Congress agreed. So we had the enhanced subsidies or tax credits. We had our basic that went from 100 to 400%, and then we had the enhanced that went above 400%.
Now, let's look at the future outlook. Will these subsidies return?
Well, I guess that's anybody's guess, Jim. With all of this stuff that's been happening in the shutdown and the talk of all the days, the enhanced premium tax credits or the enhanced subsidies certainly have been right up there as one of those items that has been discussed. When this deal came about in the last couple of days, we have many that are in government saying, okay, let's get the government opened up again, and then we can talk about these enhanced premium tax credits or these enhanced subsidies. So will that talk actually happen? You know, we'll just have to wait and see. They have until the end of January. They'll be talking about things like this again. So hopefully it gives them the opportunity to do that. But understand, too, that we've got holidays coming up, which means more of a break for Congress. And then we have new people that are coming in. So I don't know what's going to happen. What I can say is some of the predictions that we have heard during this shutdown And from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they say that the enhanced subsidies will cost about $350 billion with a B over the next 10 years. So that's a big price tag to bite off. Now, do I think that they will extend it, you know, from the end of 2025 and forward? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. And the $350 billion over 10 years is a lot. I have also heard some of the quotes saying, okay, we can talk about these extensions, but we need to make these extensions or the enhanced subsidies a better deal for the taxpayer. They don't really elaborate on what that means. So, like I said, your guess is as good as mine. We'll just have to wait and see how things shake out.
Now, with everything that's happening with the subsidies, I'm going to ask you to do an impact analysis, Shelley. How will this affect insured individuals and the overall risk pool?
Well, I think we are going to see some impacts. I think we're hearing about some of those now with all the things that have been going on and understanding from the insurance carrier perspective that these enhanced subsidies had an end date, and that end date is 12/31 of 2025. So unless Congress authorized them to go beyond, those were going to be done. So pricing had to happen for these individual plans months ago. Each state, the carriers that work in that state, needed to send their pricing models to the state. And there's a bit of a back and forth, what you need, what the state is going to allow you to charge. So all of that happened so that these prices could be put on the private exchanges on healthcare.gov for individuals to pay for them. What are we seeing? We're seeing increases on average of 25 to 30% for individuals. It depends on the age that you are, because we all know that when you're young, 21, 25, insurance isn't very costly, but when you get to your late 50s, your 60s, it's going to cost more. And in the individual market, it says that a 64-year-old can't pay more than three times what the 21-year-old pays. So the carriers had to work within that 3-to-1 ratio, and just imagining what's happening out there. So we have rate increases. We had, of course, better enrollment during the days of having the enhanced subsidies or tax credits. We saw about 4 million more people who jumped into the individual marketplace. So we went from 11 million when we started all of this to about 24 million insured in 2024. So I'm talking about 2014 to 2024. We saw a great increase in the number of people that have insurance. Now, if they don't have that enhanced tax credit or help, what are they going to do? And if you think about those that are the higher income levels, probably a lot of them are very healthy people who now said, I can afford this health insurance with some of the help of the enhanced tax credits. Well, those people may not want to pay that increased amount, that additional 30, 40, 50%, whatever it is at their age range. So they'll likely jump out of individual coverage. What is that going to do to the pool of insureds? It is definitely going to reduce the pool, and it may harm even more if it's true that a lot of those who are leaving are also healthy. So as we look at that pool of those that are left, it's those that are sicker, those that might be older, those who can't afford any other kind of insurance, don't have a job that offers health insurance, or can't afford it if their employer does offer coverage. So will the rates continue to go up? What will rates in 2027 look like? I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens in the talks with Congress. Do they really open things up? Do they have an honest conversation about what's going on with insurance? And I think it's a peril for employers too, because some of these people who no longer have the enhanced tax credit are going to come back to their employer and want to get back on the employer's plan. So that could be an additional risk for that employer to take on more, and it may affect those rates at the employer's level as well.
Thank you, Shelley. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional.